Ms. Stranger.
It's ready.
I'd like to call to order the Board of Education meeting. It's Monday, July 24th, 2017. This is a regular meeting at 7 o'clock. Roll call.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dawson?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Let's all stand for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Item 3, administrative reports. Business service, food service, Mr. Code.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Where the heck were you last time?
You don't have to take that.
I was at the hospital.
That's what I understand. You had some issues. Everything all right?
Yes, thank you so much for asking. I think the best question for the group is, you should have bought a rich cage for Rich last year.
I know.
I should have.
The doctor took it off my list.
I think maybe cage tomorrow. I'm sorry. This is actually a period over from you. In the report, the PowerPoint, and there's a report in front of you, it was actually put together by our consumer service supervisor, Cindy Panor. You have last year's closing as of 7/1/16. If you recall, last year we ran a negative food service of just over $76,000. And then we have a snapshot as of 6/12/17 when this report was put together, where we had the food service department running a positive of just over $67,000. So we've been very successful in getting that swing and turnaround. Obviously, a large component was the 25 cent increase in lunch prices. And you can see that number at the 40,000. We made some relatively significant staff adjustments to account for 12,000. And then the rest of it really is just hard work on Cindy's part, where she has increased some participation in the program. She's been very, very aggressive at reducing our lunch food costs and our sundry supply costs, working with vendors for lower prices. Overall, she's done a tremendous job. We've also done a lot of work in regards to the adjustment and enrollment. We continue to look at our staff levels in food service, and we are again looking to align that with the participation of the students through the line. We've done some work on our point of sales, and so all in all, we've been very aggressive through the program and done a lot with the grant breakfast programs, producing some revenues. We're looking to roll that out in additional schools this year. We had our free interns that we had from the two universities this year. It was fantastic that we get those folks from Akron and Case. And again, not to belabor, but if you go through, we've reduced the trays. We've eliminated the trays at the schools. Highland's already doing it. We're looking to do it at the buildings. We'd love to do it at all the schools. Infrastructure with the dishwashers is a little bit of a concern, and the facilities plan on the table. I'm not sure we want to spend $20,000-$30,000 putting new dishwashers in the buildings at the moment. So that limits our abilities in some other schools. And then we've established our goals for next year. I think the breakfast program speaks for itself. The point of sale and the vending machines certainly offers some real potential for the school district. We're going through and we're looking at contracts and who holds vending machine contracts and monies that are being received from vending machine contracts and which vending machines don't have contracts. And then we're also looking at making the vending machine, so if you want to buy something on a vending machine, you can just put your student ID or your, type in your student number, and it goes on your lunch account. So we're being very, that city's doing a great job going through with all of it. Is there any questions about the food service program?
I have a question. So, given our new administration at the federal level, how have things changed with the food? Are we going to go back to the way our menus were before? Are we going to leave things the same? Because the guidelines have changed.
Yes. So they are allowing more sugars. They're allowing more salts. They're not requiring as much whole grain. It is not our intention to just go all the way back. People try some things, but then we also run into difficulty we have with parents with nutrition concerns, and so it's not my expectation that we are going to, you know, sell candy bars, chocolate, full of sugar. That we're not going to go back
to that. Okay.
We've made really good progress. People have been healthy. People have been turnaround that students are participating in food. So we may try something, but it will not be as costly. I'm sorry, I can get that number for you. I don't have it.
I mean, would it behoove us from a profitability point of view to drive more percentage down?
Oh, yeah. And if you remember last year's presentation, we had the curves and we had all those numbers for you. I didn't want to belabor curves because we have a one-year curve. last year's data showed long range, and then now we have an upward slope. And what I don't want to do is suggest that this is going to all of a sudden we're going to go this way and just maintain it. We need to get a couple years under our belt, see some good steady data, a climb, stabilize the department basically. We were about 34% last year. We're up by, I think, close to 10%.
Is that just one of the strategies to be used to get kids to try to do that? Probably get them still playing. I remember when people were sending pictures of food to the White House because it looks so bad. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of...
If Cindy were here, she'd list a dozen things that she's been doing for participation. The ones that I know of, she does pizza days, she does special Mexican food days, she's out in the schools regularly. Sampling what kids want, what they want to eat, what they like to eat. We're working to try to make the lines as efficient as possible. We know the challenges the high school has with getting students through quickly, and so we're restructuring lines there so that we don't have two lines, we have three, so that snacks are, an express line per se for snacks, and then you have the food lines, and so we're reworking that with existing staff to facilitate that participation increase.
That beehive was new, right? At the high school, or is it?
The beehive has been in the district since I arrived.
Okay.
I believe it came into existence a couple, 3 years before
my
arrival.
It does pretty well, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yes. The difficulty there is it's a single line.
Right.
And so it really does better in the mornings.
Does it sell coffee?
Yes.
But they still come in with Starbucks. Yeah, they do. My goodness. I know.
So the turnaround of $144,000 is outstanding.
Really?
So do I understand this right? The 25-cent increase, does that mean the $40,000? Does that mean that was $40,000 to the good?
That created revenue.
So $40,000. So that
price increase impact.
Right, so that accounts for $40,000. Okay. $12,000 was for staff adjustments, right?
Yeah.
So it's $52,000. If we had no snow day, that's about another $22,000, right? It's about $70,000, in the $70,000, but
yeah.
We're at $144,000, so.
I don't think so. That's what
made up the other big? Was it just increased participation?
No, and again, that's the biggest part, but it's all aspects. She was able to really be very aggressive with vendors, and she has reduced our, not just our food costs, but our sundry supply costs significantly. We've made some real inroads in our inventories and our inventory controls since I arrived. I mean, we would inventory foods, and they would inventory all out of the schools, and then remain at the schools all summer, and we don't do that. We pull it all back into one site. In my life, a freezer failure creates quite a bit of work, especially when you're starting to move food because you have a freezer fail. So what we've done is we've moved all food over to the high school, and it now has an alarm on it so that we don't end up throwing out hundreds of dollars worth of food if a freezer fails. So those type of initiatives have benefited the bottom line.
The 40K can't be all price. I mean, the massive, that would mean we served 160,000 more meals.
Not more meals, just meals.
Meals. 160,000 meals.
That's
what yeah. That
would mean. 1,000
meals a day.
Times a quarter.
Awful. You have related a la carte increases as well?
Yeah.
That would be part of that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because you have a bigger population that participates a la carte than does your standard type A lunch.
Any other questions for Mr. Code?
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Code.
Thank you.
Very much.
So we're going to move on to the next one, which is the business services report. Everybody should have received the document. I just wanted to speak to a lot of this. Much of the information that is contained in the report in front of you, there shouldn't really be anything new in there. It's either come through in a board update or we've talked about it in meetings, and so the board should be fully aware. It's pretty much a recap of the success of the business department over the past 12 months. We're just going to start with our facilities action plan. It's on the table. It's actually progressing well. I know that I wasn't here for the June board meeting, but there was a really very positive presentation by TDA in that meeting. We're building upon that. We have the assessment. It will be formally delivered to the school district August 1st, at which time there will be some hard questions about the enrollment information. That's still something that I think in everybody's mind needs to be settled. TDA is aware of that. Future Think's aware of that. And the state's aware of that. Because Joel's not approving the report at this time, and that's from my recommendation. So we'll work through that. We're asking the board to make decisions and the committee to make decisions on enrollment information, so we better have it accurate for you. So I understand that was a question in June. So.
Yeah, I know. In that presentation, they quoted a number that was just not right, that they claimed it was, but.
We will settle that concern. Okay. We've done the ELP. We are at the point, and you will be privy to this as we roll out with the facilities committee planning committee meeting in August. But there's conversation that I'm having with TDA right now in the state that we might want to look at an exceptional needs program, which is another program they offer that actually gives us. We're the minimum 5%. Does everybody remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to wait till your number comes up to get to 5% minimum from an ELP. And exceptional needs gets us 5% up front. So that could be some significant money. We're probably going to do an application for that program regardless, because mm-hmm. there's no obligation. And it's good to be in line for the money if you can get it. We've got a new architect, work with TDA. We use the Business Advisory Council as a good group to facilitate the structure of Facilities Planning Committee. We have the surveys that have been very helpful with regards to what the community thinks about the building possibilities. We've worked with the Treasurer's Office to come up with some short, long-term impacts of financial packages. And we have the timeline. So we're heading in to this fall, we're going to step out, work with the community, and we've structured some phases and a timeline that we will, and it's tight, to work through to come up with what are we looking at for facilities by January. So if we intend to be out early in 18, we can develop a campaign. And then at the bottom, there are a couple notes. We will still probably need to have additional conversations about what kind of a construction model we would want to use. Any questions about the action plan in the facilities planning?
What's the turnaround on finding out if we would be eligible for that 5%? What was it, emergency? Or
it's called an exceptional needs program.
Needs. Is that something we would have an answer on before we went to
absolutely.
The ballot?
Yes. The application should open in August.
Okay.
So, yeah, Joel and I talked about that about 12 months ago.
Is this something new from the state?
When Joel brought that to me, I couldn't have been here 2 months. That's when we had the conversation that the ELP program probably would be a first step. And so we're looking at the exceptional needs now. I wouldn't hold my breath, but again, it's available and it's not difficult to make application. And so we need to do that.
Would our status be, you know, perhaps eligible for this due to the fact that so many of our buildings are up in the 80% replacement?
Yes.
Is that how they base that?
That's exactly how. And it's not necessarily the 80%, but it's specific needs that they look at the building. And obviously that drives that 80% cost, but there are specific things, specific items, health and safety,
yeah,
those type
security
items.
Thing, yeah.
Great. It's great questions. And the second page is simply an overall summary of a lot of the work that was performed in the business office this year. Emergency operations plan, if you follow legislation, there's been a lot come out of the state in regards to school responsibilities. We are compliant. We've been compliant. Building administrators have bought in. Buildings administrators understand their responsibilities in regards to the plans. I've been very successful there. We've improved a number of security systems around the district. We have the access control badges. And in fact, Jeff is sporting one of the new badges. That will not just get you in and out of the buildings, but it'll also operate the copy machines. So.
Don't walk around to the parking lot alone.
We have started to upgrade digital surveillance in the high school and the middle school. So we were running analog video systems with limited access. You can only access those from the buildings they were at. We have gone to a digital video system. We've taken a step approach where we've upgraded the infrastructure head end that will support both analog and digital cameras. The cost of replacing all of our analog cameras with digital cameras was cost prohibitive. So now we can work with building principals, identify where priorities are for digital video, and we can install cameras at a much slower pace.
Just out of curiosity, you working with Extend?
No, we are not. The benefit is it's a internet base, and so I can log in and look at cameras, and we can give Joel access to cameras. And so
if I have a system like that in my home, I understand now, it. That's what I'm
now where something occurs and somebody's asking, can you get video? Well, at the high school, the middle school, I can get the video. And it's digital, so you don't have to watch a video in real time. And it records on movement. So it's just state-of-the-art, you know, the technology advances in video have occurred. So we're moving down that path. worked with Permanent Improvement Committee, fully inclusive building principal input. We've restructured the tracking of PI and planning projects and funding, and so we're moving that forward. We have the copier project that we did this year. It was a big project. It really has the potential to save some significant funds for the district. The print shop's closed. We will certainly see moving into next year how successful we've been in that area. I think that the savings from that are pretty solid. It's going to be the how well the teaching staff and all the staff adjust to not having a print shop available. The equipment in the buildings is a lot better. We're working with some bugs right now. It's been in for about 30 days. It will support the teaching staff a lot better with how they produce work. They can send jobs to a copy machine and it holds it for them. So they don't have to send a job and run and get it. And so they can send as many jobs as they want to the copy machine, go there once, and produce all their jobs at one time. So if that's a change, a little bit of a change in operation, and as soon as folks start to use that and learn to use that, it should really benefit their efficiencies. We have presented for review and consideration the agreements with CVCC for the transportation and maintenance of their fleet and also pupil transportation. It's my understanding there's a board retreat coming up, and that's a topic.
It is not a,
not
topic,
a topic there.
And it will be in August.
Okay.
It's not a board meeting.
Okay. Then we've also explored it, and this was at the request of the board, special needs transportation. It is a cost center. It's a little over $200,000 a year that we spend on our special needs. When we structured that and we looked at that on a standalone cost, there really is no savings that would be presented to the board because of the structure of our driver's day. And the times that our special needs schools are open conflict directly with our bell times. So we're talking about having to put a whole bus and employ additional personnel to try to support that, and it starts to become cost prohibitive at that point. If the pupil transportation piece comes through with CVCC, that's a value-added piece for us because their start times are so much different than our start times that it just presents an opportunity for us to see if we can't do a model for transportation of a special needs student in conjunction with the CVCC route.
Why don't we let them do it then?
The CVCC?
Yeah. I don't want to do it. If they already have the spare time that fits with their schedule, that should be something they can do.
We could certainly offer that to them. I don't think that they're structured to be able to route it. They don't have the routing software, so I don't think they're structured to be able to route it. I don't think that their drivers are available specifically, Mark, at the time of day, because there are actually drivers coming from other school districts that then go to the CVCC and drive those routes for the CVCC. So I know that their driver pool comes directly from other school districts, but that certainly could be something they could explore.
We haven't had a conversation at all at CVCC over it.
So. We've moved to align our district facility use policy. Our district facility use with board policy. We've made some minor changes to our administrative guidelines, and we have worked diligently to start collecting some rental fees that have been in arrears. We have managed to get a couple of reductions in our liability insurance. This is a cost center that usually has an upward curve. My goal with liability insurance to get this thing to flatline long term, and so to have two reductions in the first 2 years here is really good news for us. The history in the district at that is that has been an item that has increased with some regularity. We've gone through a restructure.
What did we spend a year on liability insurance?
Just under $150,000 a year currently. We were, my first year here, we were over $150,000. Would you like, we can produce some information there. I mean, we have that data, Mark.
No, I was just trying to get a rough feel for it.
We've restructured our custodial workload throughout the district. We've established some expectations and standards. We've had areas in the district at the high school that those custodial sections have been unassigned. So they've been group cleaned for a number of years. And generally, when nobody's responsible for an area, the cleanliness of the area suffers. So we have addressed that, and everybody has assigned workloads now. And 75% of our active bus fleet has digital video surveillance on it today. Any questions?
Just a very small, minor comment about something, and it's probably already being taken care of, but I know we replaced a bunch of concrete around some of our schools. Some of the walks were bad this summer, and I walk my dogs a lot, especially past Hilton, and I know they pulled the forms out, just so so you're aware of that, so fun.
Yep. And it's been like that for a couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's been there, for a while.
Mr. Smith's aware, and so I... Yeah.
I just don't want some little kid standing there on a bus, you know.
Well, I don't want somebody walking around the school twisting an ankle either.
Well, that'd be my fault.
Thank you very much for your time.
Yeah. Thanks.
Item 4, community communication, hearing of the public. Does anyone wish to speak? Hearing none, I will suspend that reading. Oh, you do? Oh, so sorry. Persons wishing to address the Board of Education may do so at this point. No formal action will be taken on subjects that are not included on this agenda until the Board has had an opportunity to study them. Comments regarding personnel must be submitted in writing through the Office of the Superintendent. In order for the Board to complete the planned agenda in an effective and efficient manner and to provide sufficient opportunities for members of the public to be heard, hearing of the public shall be limited to a maximum of 30 minutes, during which each speaker shall be limited to a maximum of 3 minutes, which we never follow anyways. But yes.
So I'm Bonnie Montevideo. I'm speaking on behalf of the Brexville Broughton Heights Education Association, and for the record, my address is 755 Brentwood Boulevard, Mountville, Ohio. Mm-hmm. I rise to speak tonight because I want to thank Rick Burdine. Tonight is his last official board meeting, and on behalf of the association, I want to officially recognize the contribution he's made to the relationship we've been able to have with this office for your tenure here. One of the things I can say positive about him is the fact that Rick, from the moment he landed here, was available. He was available for, hearing out a question, helping to problem solve. The level of integrity and professionalism he set as a standard, it was inspirational to me personally. He always, after I dealt with him on a particularly sticky issue, always walked out of the room feeling better. Even though he may have told me no, in no uncertain terms. The way that Rick is able to listen, consider multiple perspectives, and maintain a level of calm, and again, that dignity that you carry with you, with a good sense of humor, it made the years that you've been here so much better. And so on behalf of the association, just want to say thank you and to wish you well. We look forward to working with the new treasurer coming in, but very much you will be missed because of just what you contributed. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
And the board mirrors. I mean, you know so much, and it's about things that have nothing to do with your job even. I mean, the experience alone has just been so helpful, Rick. And you know we'll miss you. But I get to see you over there, so it's easy to see.
Kathleen, I think, did somebody else want to, I think somebody else.
I apologize, sorry. This is my first meeting, I'm trying to do better. Every time, get better. Thank you.
My name is Sandra Haddad, and I live at 9172 Crescent Boulevard, Broadview Heights. On July 21st, 2006, so almost exactly 11 years ago, my family and I moved to the United States from Lebanon. I was a junior in high school, and I did not speak a word of English. It was a very challenging experience, but with the unwavering support of the school staff, I was able to learn and speak the language within 6 months of attending Brecksville Broadview Heights High School. To my disappointment, my senior year, I wasn't even eligible for a ESL class, as I was considered to be fluent in the language. I graduated from BBHHS with an honors diploma, and I attended Cuyahoga Community College for 2 years, where I got my Associate of Arts and Associate of Science. I then transferred to the University of Akron, where I pursued my Bachelor of Science in Civil Engineering. While in college, I did summer internship with ODOT and had the privilege of working on Chestnut Road and Lacey Lane Bridges. I also served 3 co-op terms with a consulting firm out in Akron. After graduation, I accepted a full-time position with Turner Construction Company, where I have been working ever since. I have held different positions at Turner, such as a field engineer, assistant superintendent, and then a cost engineer. I have worked on the new Cleveland Clinic Taussig Cancer Center, and I'm currently on the health education campus for Case Western Reserve University and the Cleveland Clinic. I am here to express my appreciation and gratitude for everything that this school district has done for me, and to look for ways to give back to the community.
Yay. You put that offer out there. Yeah, run for Sam. You put that offer out there now, so we're going to find you. Thank you so much for bringing that positiveness. We don't get to hear our teachers. Everybody doesn't get to hear enough of that. Thank you for taking your time to do that. Wow, thank you for coming back. Right. Composure. Anyone else need to be heard? No? Okay. Item 5. Board member committee reports. A, financial liaison audit committee.
Our auditors arrived on site today. So Jeff and I are going to work through together some of their initial requests for documents, which are fairly standard, mm-hmm. but we'll give Jeff the opportunity to know what some of those are, work with the people. So we will get that started this week, and then it will go on seemingly forever, but only really about 5 months. And we should be in good shape. I didn't leave anything hidden to bury him on purpose.
No. Okay, good. That's
we'll
great.
Be in good shape, I assure you of that.
Okay. Well, we know where to find you anyway,
right.
So we'll hunt you down like a dog. B, permanent improvement committee.
I think it's happened since our last meeting, and again, the focus there is certainly on the facilities.
Right.
Chris has talked about that.
Okay, and maybe coming up with creative ways to explain the message of what our state our facilities are in. I saw that with North Royalton. So that, I remember, I wanted to say that to Mr. Code, that rolling out of that message needs to start well in advance.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting, because I don't know if you saw the, was it Brexel magazine? I forget, one of the magazines has a pretty detailed description of the report that was delivered at our last meeting and points out that many of our buildings are in the 80% plus thing. So I would expect we'll start getting some reactions from the community just from reading that article.
Okay.
I mean, even my wife reacted and she knew it already.
Right.
So, well, I mean,
it is what it is, and it's just important to stay ahead of that, that's for sure.
Yeah.
See, I can't imagine that, but Transportation Appeals Committee, you don't even have things routed yet, do you?
No, we don't.
Okay, good.
We're safe.
Well, quite much. D, Board Policy Committee?
Nothing new.
Okay. E, Cauga Valley Career Center report. I really don't have anything to report other than we're having a board retreat on Saturday at the ESC with our new superintendent, Mr. Mangus, and this is Selena, Dr. Robuck's last month at CBCC as well. Anything else you think I missed?
No.
Okay. Item F, other board member reports. I know the foundations elected a new board, the school foundations elected a new board, and Julie Firestone is president. Is that correct? And Mary Ann Jones is vice president, and Jeff Barber is treasurer. So, yeah. And we are looking for an administrative assistant at foundations. So if you know anybody, we have it actually posted, don't we? I don't know where I saw.
I'll have to check with Brian when he returns.
Okay.
But I believe we had talked the last meeting to actually post it on our AppliTrack system. So
right.
Then we would then route those applications to the foundation for them to look at and review. But we were going to assist with that,
right.
That posting process.
So if you know anybody who's interested, I saw the job description actually. So if you know someone who's interested, I think it's $15 an hour. And what they would basically do is they need to know QuickBooks, but we need somebody to do that. We had the person retire. I think they get a laptop at their use as well, but it would be a good job for somebody who has kids at home or anybody like that. Sorry, Pat. I just had to say that. Okay, item 6, other board business. A, we have revised board policy 2464. Gifted education and identification. This is the first reading, so no action will be done. It's tab 1. B, we have to resolve to appoint board member as delegate and alternate to the OSBA Capital Conference annual meeting in November 2017. Do I have any nominations for that? I guess we didn't take care of that in January.
We did not. I pulled the board agenda from, and that was, it's not in here. So
okay.
These are two positions that you have to fill.
So who would like to be the delegate for that?
I'd like to nominate Mr. Dosen.
Oh, that's a great one.
I'll second that.
Okay. And as alternate, I'd like to nominate Mr. Ziegler.
It's all right. Alternate's fine.
I'll second that.
Yep.
Because I'm probably going to have a stomach ache when the delegate is.
Well, you get an extra ribbon, remember. You're just working for those ribbons.
Ribbon.
Get that one guy. Okay. Any discussion? No, may I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay, please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Reluctantly, yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Item C, resolve to approve the professional development and mentoring services agreement. This agreement shall commence on August 6, 2017 and shall remain in full force and effect for a period of 6 months or earlier termination as provided herein. After the initial six-month term, the agreement shall automatically continue on a month-to-month basis until otherwise terminated as provided herein. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. As an item of clarification, the board wants to make sure that Mr. Hall is as successful as he can be, and it was actually Mr. Hall's suggestion in the interview process as well. So we have found a Mr. David Osborne, who is a retired treasurer from Manchester, and he also worked in Stowe for 3 years as well, and he will be in one day a week working with Mr. Hall, and this is the contract which we have also, so if you would like to see that. And we just hope that it makes things go very smoothly for you. And so
thank you
for that suggestion. And
absolutely.
And Mr. Osborne, I think we'll be at a couple of board meetings to get that whole process started.
He's coming Wednesday.
Oh, great.
He called today.
Yep.
I'll reach out to him.
Okay. All right. Any other discussion? Okay. Roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0-7. Superintendent announcements.
Thank you. I just have a couple. Just wanted to let everyone know that we received our initial test scores. They have not been finalized yet, but I am happy to report that our initial scores have us moving upwards from last year in all grade levels, 3 through 10 in ELA. So we did an outstanding job with our ELA scores. So we're very excited. And because of that, as you may remember, Central School was nominated for a National Blue Ribbon Award. They were nominated by Ohio Department of Education. They were not nominated by us. The state actually nominated them. They filled out the application, we got some correspondence over the summer, and the stipulation is that you had to make your growth marks in this year's test scores to actually obtain that distinction. Every indication right now is that Central School is going to receive that recognition. We will be going to Washington, D.C. in November to accept that recognition, so we're pretty excited about that. So congratulations to every single staff member at Central School, well, well deserved. And I, too, would like to, secondly, I want to say that beginning this school year, the state has eliminated two of our state tests. So we will not be taking the fourth and sixth grade social studies test this year. They will not be marked on our report card. So that is good news for all of us who feel like our students are way over-tested, that the state has backed off on two of those required state tests.
Hopefully more to come.
Hopefully. And I would just also like to wish best of luck to Rick. It's been a pleasure working with you.
Thank you.
All right. Item 8, superintendent's consent agenda. Item A, certified recommendations in tab 2. B, classified recommendations. C, supplemental recommendations, tab 4. D, assistant healthcare coordinator job description, tab 5. And E, administrative support personnel salary schedule 2016-2018, which is revised in tab 6. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Tab, item A, B, and C are just our typical staffing recommendations. I will have some comments after your vote. Letter D and E, assistant healthcare coordinator job description. This was a job description based on a new model of nursing services that we are going to provide starting in the start of this school year, and the salary schedule just goes along with that new position that was created.
Okay. And a retirement.
Yeah.
Cheryl.
I'm going to talk about that after your vote.
Oh, all right. All right.
All right. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
Yes. Item passes 5-0.
I would like to introduce to all of you our new assistant principal at the middle school, Mr. Spencer Waters. We stole him from Copley Fairlawn, and I use the word stole on purpose. We're very excited to have him. I had to beg your superintendent. No, I'm kidding. But we welcome you, and you are joining a great staff and a great team, and I'd like to introduce you to our board.
Come on up and shake our hand. Come on.
Spencer,
welcome to the board.
I was welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Great to see you.
And on before the meeting.
I would also just like to say, you know, she is not here this evening, that Cheryl Richardson, the administrative assistant in my office, will be retiring effective July 31st. So Monday is her last day. So if you have a moment to stop by and see her, and she's been with us 22 years. Mm-hmm. She has been my rock this year, so I'm really going to miss her. I'm also looking forward to Jean Kulik, who will be taking her position out of the middle school, will be replacing her starting August 1st. So if you know Jean from middle school, you know that she's a fabulous person as well, and it's going to be, be very patient with as we go through the change and the transition from 22 years of experience, you know, to transition. It's going to be, might be some bumps along the way, so I appreciate everyone's patience with that. But best of luck to Cheryl. She will be missed.
Yeah, she will. Item 9, superintendent's business. We have A, school calendar 2018-2019. Look at us, how ambitious we are. Tab 7. B, settlement agreement 2017-2018, Julie Billiard School. Tab 8. C, settlement agreement 2017-2018, Cleveland Clinic Autism School. Tab 9. D, Monarch School Service 2017-2018, Tab 10. E, America's Best Transportation Contract 2017-2018, Tab 11, and F, Lake Erie Educational Media Consortium Agreement, Tab 12. There's no, do we have to have a book?
Yeah, the next three.
Oh, sorry, my fault. Item 9, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. G, revised school fees, preschool grade 8, Tab 13. H, payment in lieu of transportation, and I, J.C. Power Strategic Communications one-year agreement. May I have a motion? Well, hold on. If we need to pull one of these out, should we pull one of them out? Because they're all lumped together.
You could have a motion to approve the items that you want, which would be then to separate that within the motion, assuming we get a second. That would be on the floor properly for discussion of the board and then a subsequent vote by the board. Then you could come back on what other item you pulled out with a similar motion, or it could die for lack of a motion or whatever.
So I say which one that I'd like to
see. You would just have
to
identify in item 9.
Okay.
If somebody's making a motion, they would make a motion to approve item 9, letters A, B, D, whatever, whatever, whatever. I don't know what it
okay.
is. So you're going to cite what those are, and that would be the motion. Assuming we get a second, it would be properly before the board for discussion.
Okay, so I'd like to have a motion to approve items A through H. Is that right?
That's correct. If that's what
so somebody asks it, somebody
and then if there's a second, it's before the board for discussion, and then
okay.
following that, there would be a vote.
Okay.
So moved.
Second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. So call the roll, correct?
Yes. Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. Now tell me what to do.
Now we would have a motion on item I, and okay. then assuming a second, it's properly before the board for discussion and a subsequent vote.
Okay, can I have a motion for item I?
So moved.
Second.
Okay. So, discussion?
Yes, ma'am.
Correct. Okay, so this is for our communication one-year agreement. As the board remembers, which I'm sure you're well aware, Kathy Harbanek retired, I believe, in June. Is that correct?
Yes.
And so we need to replace that, and we are considering J.C. Power Strategic Communications for a one-year agreement. Is that correct? Yes. Okay. Anybody have any other discussion on this? Okay.
Yeah, I think the reason we probably broke this out was to consider it individually. Previous experience with the principal at this organization provided the board with some direction that would have caused it some grief. So we had to rectify that, and personally, I would be hesitant to select this person.
And I would feel the same. I'd be very hesitant to select this person as well. So, basically for the reason that Mr. Jansen has said. Now, basically it is the reason that Mr. Jansen said. It's prior experience. Okay.
So, just to give you some information on the central office went through a process. We put out an RFQ to request qualifications for services. We had an interview process with three different firms, one of them being this firm. We vetted each of the firms based on the interview through a rubric. We each filled out rubrics on each of the companies that provided information and came up with an average score for each of those three companies. We looked at that and also looked at cost for that one-year agreement, and that is how the determination was made on the J.C. Power Strategic Communications. It wasn't a decision made in isolation. Our whole central office team participated in that process and vetted a process to come up with this recommendation. We're at a crucial time right now because the start of school is coming up, and there are several, beginning of the year conversations and communications that need to get out to our community. So I'm a little concerned with the timing and making sure that we have someone on board and in place to provide some of that communication needs that we will have here coming up very shortly due to the start of school.
So you provided us our rubric, and thank you very much. That was something that didn't exist, a couple years ago, so thank you very much. There are other options, though. Am I incorrect in that there was somebody who was close in their scoring as well? Is that correct?
That is correct.
And price-wise, there was a $3,000 difference between J.C. Powers and that other firm as well. I just want to...
Yes, that is correct.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
I mean, is the deciding factor the cost? I mean, is that ultimately what ended up driving it, or is there a very specific reason why you believe this particular vendor? Because obviously we've had some bad experience, so...
Sure.
You know...
It wasn't just the cost, because as Kathleen mentioned, it was about a $3,000 difference. Really, the determining factor came down to level of service. You know, as you know, Kathy Harbinak, she basically ran all of our social media. She took pictures. She wrote everything that went on. Some of the other firms did not offer that level of service. In other words, we would still be required to have somebody here on site that would upload things to social media, that would manage that site. They would write content, but we would actually still be responsible for maintaining. So the decision came down to on our rubric is to that accessibility piece. They provide people at all of the events. They take pictures. They manage the social media. So we would not have to have a person here on site to be able to do that. They come and do all of that for you, whereas the other two organizations that we interviewed did not provide that level of service. That was really the determination between the one company over this one, was the accessibility piece and really not having to have somebody on site to also manage.
And that makes it more than $3,000 then, really, in effect.
Any other discussion? Okay. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer.
Yes.
Mr. Jansen.
No.
Mr. Ziegler.
Yes.
Mr. Dosen.
Yes.
Mrs. Mack.
No. Item passes 3-0.
3-2.
My fault. Thank you. Language arts, not math. No. 10, treasurer consent agenda. A, we have the advance. Number one, $40,000 from Fund 01 General to Fund 009 Uniform School Supplies Middle School. B, establishment of the school activities account, class of 2021, tab. No, that's not the tab. C, financial report, June 2017, tab 16. And D, minutes of the June 26, 2017, July 5th, 2017, and July 14, 2017 meetings. We love meetings. Tab 17. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second. Okay. Discussion?
Yeah, let me just take a couple minutes here. I think it's all. And then I'd like to take a couple more minutes after the vote if you're allowed to that last opportunity. Thank you, Gina. The advance is an annual advance. While it says it goes to Uniform School Supplies Middle School, it could be any of the accounts there. It's just a temporary advance of cash so that fund level does not end a month in any cash deficit. And that happens in the early months of the school year while we're ordering the supplies and waiting to receive funds from our families. By mid-year, typically that will be repaid, as it has been in the past. Class of 2021 would be our incoming freshman class, to set them up as a new student activity, which we also request with a different number each year. The financial report then for June, and as you know, we updated the forecast in May, so our revenues are fairly close. We did receive the biggest piece of that differential in the all other operating revenues is because we received a Medicaid reimbursement settlement for FY14, and I've talked about that repeatedly over the years. Gina's office, my office, stayed involved in getting these claims filed, even though the state and the feds were arguing over how that would be funded and in what formula for reimbursement, but we stayed in. And in that fiscal year, we then received about in excess of slightly over $200,000. A $90,000 piece of that I had in the forecast to come in FY18 came in FY17. It's one-time cash, just a little sooner than expected. Jeff will be able to update the forecast for October to back that out, so it's not a huge change. Also, through Chris's efforts, and we've talked about this in the past, we received a $20,000 workers' comp refund, and that was from our group retro program participation, which is a program when Larry Tomick was here. Larry and I worked to get us involved in that because we were getting hammered with a bad history of claims here, and our rates were just escalating. We didn't qualify for any group rating programs to save money. So we got into this through the efforts of Larry, Chris, and our staff. We've been able to reduce claims, people not getting hurt, safer workplace practices. So I anticipate going forward, Jeff will tell you more about workers' comp refunds from the retro program, because to date, I hate to jinx us, but we're having very good experience even again this year. So we would expect that it's kind of like a partially self-funded insurance program in a simple sense. So, and to the degree you save on that, those monies come back to you. So I think that will happen. You will also hear Jeff talk next month about us getting another workers' comp rebate, which is not in for the FY18 forecast. And depending on one's perspective, workers' comp would tell you it's because they do such a great job managing the monies that come into the workers' comp fund. Therefore, they have this excess money and they're refunding it to employers. Employers would probably tell you they got gouged on rate for so long that they paid too much in and they're just getting back what they never should have been charged. Nonetheless, we're getting it back. So believe what you will, it's cash, and it was a fairly sizable amount, 100 plus, as I recall. 150?
Actually
175. There you go.
Wow.
So we'll take it. It will change the forecast again. One-time money, 175 in the scope of a $47 million budget isn't a ton of money, but we'll take 175 anytime we can get it. We'll take 20 when we can get it. And we'll take those Medicaid settlements. On the salary and fringe side, I guessed on contract settlements and what those would cost for our two unions, our non-classified groups, and our administrators. Maybe as a good treasurer, I was very conservative, therefore there's about $250,000 there, or just maybe I missed it. So since I'm leaving, you can believe whatever you please. but there's $250,000 that will be carryover. The other monies, and I say this repeatedly and I mean it, I don't feel like this was the case 5+ years ago. I think our building principals, staff members, if they had a budget, they spent budget because they weren't sure if they'd get the next budget. Our staff members are very, very good with believing that spend what you need, and if there's a need down the road and you don't have enough, we'll talk about it. We'll figure out how to get it funded. So you see those purchase services, supplies, you'll recall in the May forecast, I reduced $300,000 off of there as well. You still have about another $500,000 in unspent budgets, which are carryover savings into next year. So in total, between the revenues and that, you've got about $900,000 on the plus side going into next fiscal year. So in Jeff's first forecast, he'll have the ability to look very good with that $900,000. He can tell you once again, makes that bottom line look better. We now know the terms of those settlements. To incorporate those, obviously, the unknown of that is the transition to the Schedule B that will happen. So with that, I'd be happy to address whatever questions there are in minutes. There's really nothing of significance to report there.
Okay. Please call the roll.
Mrs. Bernauer?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. Item passes 5-0. 11, executive.
Could I interrupt one minute,
my
please?
Fault.
One of the bad things of getting old and having four daughters, now two grandchildren, is you tend to get a little more emotional than I was as a younger person. So I'm going to try to get through this without emotion. So if I don't achieve that, I apologize. Thank you to the five of you and to Mr. Tryon, most importantly, for the opportunity that you folks have given me here. You guys have been a wonderful board, and I know there have been times where perhaps staff members, perhaps community members might think I'd be crazy to say that. I'm not crazy about that. I may be crazy about other things, but you guys have been a fantastic board. I agree with Dave in that. And I said this, I think, back in March, coordinating then. I've done this 31 years. I've grown in the past six, professionally and personally, as a result of my interactions here with you. We're very fortunate with the staff that we have here. We're very fortunate with the families have. This aside, your story tonight, incredible. When my resignation was announced in March, there was a parent who stood up, and I don't recall all the details, but I remember we talked about a teacher, I believe at Hilton, who had dealt with a situation with a child student who deceased. And the way that teacher handled that situation was incredible. It makes what I do really feel to me like it's really, it's easy to go in the back corner and find out numbers and fill out paperwork. And you people who are out on the front line doing what you did for Ms. Assad, am I saying that correctly? Adad, I'm sorry, I'm killing the story. I mean it sincerely, even though I said your name, I apologize. But that, to me, is just unbelievable what goes on every day. This district is phenomenal. It was phenomenal before I got here. It will be phenomenal once I'm gone, for sure. And to that end, I told Jeff I wouldn't embarrass him much, but I never will. And he has no idea what I'm going to say, because I told him, unfortunately or fortunately, I've freewheeled a little bit. But we've had the opportunity to work together for a few days now. We have a few more days scheduled. He has my cell phone number. And I know the board desired to find an experienced treasurer, and I don't blame you for that, and I don't think Jeff blamed you for that. And Jeff is not that as a treasurer. He is experienced in his professional life and what he's done. To all, and this isn't to the board, so I say this to all, but I don't know whether I'm that good or not. That's for people to decide long after I'm gone. I've done it a long time. That's the only thing I would give you. Jeff won't be me in the first year. He won't be me in the 10th year. But I think Jeff is really bright and capable, and I say that after having spent hours with him over these days and more to come. I know he's conscientious and caring and professional and will do everything he can to learn this. He knows how to reach me. He's had two mentors who've helped him prior to me. I'm trying not to scream up because I think those two guys are pretty good. One of them I actually tried to get to apply for the job, interestingly. He's aware of that. So, and I was unsuccessful. So, yes, he will be inexperienced, but given that inexperience, I'm confident he's bright and capable. He's surrounded by the right resources. I do know Mr. Osborne. I've known Mr. Osborne who will be the mentor for about 28 years now. Good guy, very experienced, will do a good job, will serve as a good mentor in that situation. It would have been impossible for me to serve in that role. I mean, I'll be available as a professional colleague to do that for Jeff, and he knows that. But given my other two districts, it would be difficult to pull that off. And be fair to him, because when stuff happens in the daytime, he doesn't need to wait till 6 at night for me to call him back. It needs to happen now. So we joked with Bonnie before the meeting about the transition to the salary schedule B, make sure he knows about that. He knows about it. He's going to forget it, but he has all the papers as well. Mr. Schenker will copy over every H drive file that I've created in my 5 years here, plus some I brought from my former district that are on there, so he will have access to all that. We're trying to identify where things are to be able to get your fingers on them. Good or bad, I'm a little archaic in the way I do certain things, because I still keep paper copies of the records I might use to create something else. And my belief has always been, whether it's the forecast or anything else, that these folks have heard me say it, if I get run over by a truck, the person that comes in here needs to be able to pick up the papers. They can think I'm crazy and it's wrong and it's the worst way in the world to do it, but they'll at least know how it was done and why. And he will have the ability to do that, whether it's a monthly financial report, a five-year forecast, or a whole bunch of other things. But I would encourage staff, parents, everyone else. 31 years, there's a lot of things I can answer, like a procedural question about Robert's Rules of Order, because I've been, anything that's happened here, and it's been mild compared to what I've seen in other places where I've worked. So those are easy questions. When you're experienced, he'll be there. He'll be there soon. Be patient. Give him a fair chance. And hopefully because of that, you'll forget my name soon. Thank you all for 5 great years. And it's been fun. Look forward to our paths crossing again. Thank you.
One more time, thank you. You got us through some very difficult times these last, you know, how many, 6 years have you?
Five.
Feels like forever, but they were the most difficult times, I think, in this. Leave that guy out of this. All right. Item 11. Anyone else want to say anything? No, I know we all should say something.
Yeah, I'll throw in. I mean, it's been a pleasure working with you.
Thank you, Alderman.
You know, I would honestly tell you, you're the best treasurer I've ever worked with, but you're the only treasurer I've ever worked with, but you're still the best treasurer I've ever worked with. And I've enjoyed working with you, and especially over some of the challenges we've had that, you know, we were able to make some progress on. And, you know, you've always were very open to ideas and suggestions, as well as bringing ideas and suggestions to a board willing to explore different ways of thinking. And so I really appreciated that. So I wish you the best of luck in the path ahead.
Thank you. Thank you all very much.
In addition to the conversations, which are fun, professionally, I appreciate what you've done for me in many, many capacities and my participation on this board. I've thrown some crazy ideas out there, some of which you put me back in line professionally, others you've entertained. You've been thick-skinned about things, you've been open-minded, ready to change. It's a skill set that some people just never develop early or late in a career. So I've enjoyed all 5 years of it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Too.
No more.
Okay, I think I'm ready for item 11, executive session. We're going to enter into executive session for the consideration of the appointment, employment, or compensation of public employees or official as per board policy 0166, item A. May I have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
Mrs. Bernhard?
Yes.
Mr. Jansen?
Yes.
Mr. Ziegler?
Yes.
Mr. Dosen?
Yes.
Mrs. Mack?
Yes. 5-0. We will now be in executive session. Thank you all for attending.
Fine.